Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast, where it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication, allowing you to thrive in everything you do. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about what is a migraine aura. That aura, that sensation you get before you actually experience the migraine pain itself, what is that and why does it happen? Is there an explanation for the migraine aura? Likely you haven't heard it, just because people go through our healthcare system with that diagnosis of a migraine and are not even getting the explanation of what a migraine is. So let's talk about a migraine aura. We have patients that come into Novera, into our center, that actually just have an aura. They'll just have a visual disturbance. They'll have enough of an aura that it'll disrupt their day. They'll be fearful of driving. It'll put them down for 10 or 15 minutes. Typically, an aura is shorter in duration, but it is something, a change in sensation that's preceding the actual migraine pain itself. So think of a migraine as this throbbing, pounding sensation, typically on one side of the head that's debilitating. The pain itself is debilitating. But we don't want to overlook this actual aura, the sensation that you might be feeling that leads up to it. It's a really sort of confusing thing that happens to people. They can present like stroke-like symptoms. One side of your body might go numb or tingly. Weakness can happen. Your eye can swell. We've had patients with GI pain or nausea. So there's all sorts of different types of sensations that people can feel that can be very concerning. So first off, if you are someone who is newly experiencing headaches or migraines, if you have had a migraine with this type of sensation, like one side of your body goes numb or tingly, you have a facial droop, your eyes starts to swell. These are things that can be signs of something outside of what we're talking about here in this podcast. So it can be maybe a first line of defense if you're getting any stroke-like symptoms to actually get screened, okay? But I'm going to assume that on this podcast, I am speaking to mostly people that have been dealing with headaches and migraines for years and years. They've gone through our healthcare system. You've gone through our healthcare system and you've not found the answer that you're looking for. And so you search for headache or migraine podcast and I pop up and then you start listening to this podcast. We talk about things a little bit differently on this podcast. I'm a physical therapist, so we're looking at how we move, how we function, how to restore function to our neck, to our jaw, to our shoulders, and how that can actually lead to these different sensations that you're feeling. Not just that pounding, throbbing sensation, but also this aura. Okay, so what I'm going to attempt to do today is take a stab at why you're experiencing this aura. So, as I said, in this clinic, in Novera, we've seen facial weakness, swollen eye, visual disturbance is the most common, zigzag or flashes of light, numbness and tingling on one side, so like this hemiplegic migraine. It feels like you're having a stroke. It's those same types of symptoms, GI pain or nausea. There's probably more, but those are the ones I could think of off the top of my head that are different types of sensation outside of pain and oftentimes can precede the migraine pain itself. Some of those are going to coincide with the actual migraine pain. So maybe not technically like an aura in some situations, but nevertheless, there are changes in sensation that are outside of pain itself. Sometimes those different sensations can be very confusing. So why does this happen? All right. So we all have a brain and a central nervous system made up of our brainstem, the spinal cord, and then we have our peripheral nerves that are actually picking up any sort of signal or sensation, okay? So we're going to talk about neurology for a good portion of this podcast, okay? So the reason that this happens essentially has three different components. The first, but they all have to do with your brain and your central nervous system. So when I say central nervous system, brain, brainstem, and the spinal cord. So there's three components. First, you need to have an intense pain signal, okay? An intense pain signal is key because a low-grade pain signal likely is not going to present with these types of symptoms. Oftentimes, our patients come to us and they will have migraine as a diagnosis. And so they will have this sort of cyclical migraine where it pops up maybe once a week, twice a week, relatively frequently, but it's very common for people to have a lower grade headache in between those times, or maybe just constantly they have a low grade headache. So that low grade headache is it's a lower intensity pain signal that the brain is experiencing. So I would say one key component of actually experiencing an aura would be having a higher intensity of that pain signal. Okay, so it's an intense pain signal. Number two, it's traveling through this specific pathway to get to the brain. And really what that means is that the origin of the pain itself is coming from specific locations, okay? So it's not necessarily as if you have an intense shoulder pain that you could feel these symptoms, although things like nausea, lightheadedness, like these other types of sensations do come into play when we experience excruciating pain anywhere in our body. But there are nuances of the location of the pain itself when it comes to when we're talking about head and facial pain. And I've talked about this in other podcasts, but it's that referral pattern. So the upper part of the neck, specifically, when we look at a pain signal from the upper part of the neck, we see that it can light up and actually cause the pain to be perceived as coming from the head and the face. Okay, so that's number two, and it's traveling through a specific pathway within our brainstem and before it actually hits the brain itself. So that's number two. Okay, so number one is an intense pain signal. Number two, it needs to travel through a specific pathway to get to the brain, or I could say that as it needs to come from a specific location. And then three, the brain needs to misinterpret that signal. Okay? So intense pain signal traveling through a specific pathway, and the brain is misinterpreting the actual signal itself. So what does it mean to misinterpret the signal? That means that it's getting potentially the location of the signal wrong and the type of signal wrong. All right? So those are the three components that I'm going to use to explain why you get an aura. All right, so first, the intense pain signal. Let's think of an alarm going off. So quick story here. I was at my grandma's actually memorial service, which was held in her assisted living where she had passed. And that's just kind of setting up the scene, but that's not as important to this story. What happened was during the service, very inconvenient time, it was actually towards the end, so it could have been worse. But somehow the alarm, the fire alarm within the building went off. Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit noveraheadachecenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's noveraheadachecenter.com and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. Now, it was kind of this strange setting because I don't think anyone really took it seriously. No one felt like they're in immediate danger. And it was important, like having the conversations that we were having were important. So it was this weird dynamic. I don't know if I've ever really been in that situation ever before in my life, but you're having like deep, heartfelt conversations. But there's this loud, very, very obnoxious sound going off in the background and bright lights flashing. And I'm sure you're all well aware of what fire alarms, what experiencing that is like, okay? But we didn't like leave the building. We all just kind of stayed because we assumed it was a false alarm. And within 5 minutes or so, someone had notified us that it was indeed a false alarm. Now, during that time, it was really a struggle to have a conversation because you almost had to yell. And then it was just really agitating. Having this loud noise and the bright lights, it was just frustrating. Like your stress level was elevated, at least mine was. And some people kept having conversations, some people didn't. So anyways, the reason I'm bringing this up is because your brain, when you have this intense pain signal coming from the upper part of the neck or really anywhere, but in what we're talking about today with this aura and a migraine, it's likely coming from, let's say, the upper part of the neck. That is like the intense, that's the intense sound and lights of this fire alarm. And it's distracting your brain and it's causing your brain to have to focus, give attention to whatever's happening there, okay? So it's intended to draw attention. That's what pain is. Pain is a really good thing because it tells us that something's wrong and then our body can adapt and change what it's doing to accommodate to that, to lessen or decrease what could be even worsening tissue damage or injury if we didn't have that pain signal, okay? So the intense pain signal is just this loud, obnoxious type of alarm that's going off, all right? So traveling through a specific pathway, number two, what is that pathway? So the upper part of the neck, so anywhere from the base of the skull to the third cervical vertebrae, which is just maybe like an inch and a half down from the base of your skull. So if you feel the bony part, you run down a little bit, there might be some tender spots in there. It's an inch and a half, 2 inches down. So probably, so it's the C1, C2, C3. So the first three bones, these first three cervical vertebrae in our neck, we know that if a pain signal is sent from that area, it can refer pain into the head or the face. It doesn't always, but it definitely can, okay? So where does pain travel when it's coming from that location? It travels through the brainstem and it meets up with these different nuclei, okay? So nucleus is where all these different nerves come together and they have nerve endings. And it's kind of, I don't know, I picture it like this ball of nerve endings in a sense. And it's sort of like, it's a coming together of the different signals of these nerves that have all met up. And in that nuclei, it then travels up through the thalamus. The thalamus in the brain is actually part of the brain that helps to process and then relay sensory information. So the thalamus gets all sorts of sensory inputs before it actually gets to the cortex. Okay, the cortex is what we actually think of as the brain. Okay, so it's the cortex is sort of our consciousness. We actually realize what's happening when it hits the cortex. The cortex is kind of mapped out in there's mappings of it as far as like different locations of the face or different muscles are going to be coordinated in different spots within the cortex itself. If you're interested, look up, it's called the motor or the sensory homunculus. It looks like this the sensory homunculus looks like this monkey type creature because it sort of is showing how much sensory input or how much attention the brain gives in regards to sensory input to different structures of the of our body. So areas that have a heightened sensation like our lips or our face are really big, and then maybe like our arms or our legs are much smaller because we don't need to be paying attention to sensory input from those areas. Okay. A little tangent there, but the point is that the upper part of our neck will send pain through the nucleus, which is where all these different nerves meet up, and then it travels through the thalamus, which is picking up all this different sensory input, and then it hits our brain, and we don't actually realize what's happening until it hits our brain, okay? So the pathway that that pain signal takes before it hits our brain is important to understand because the location and the type of input as it meets up with all these other nerves, one in the nucleus, and that's why it's important that it's the upper part of the neck because sensations from other parts of the body don't go to that nucleus. They go to other places. But the upper part of the neck and the face and the back of the head, they meet up in this one little nucleus. And so it's all kind of combined into one. And that's why those referral patterns happen, is because they have this common source or common meeting spot called this trigeminal cervical nucleus. And then it goes through the thalamus. Okay. So as it goes through the thalamus, and we're kind of getting into step three. All right. So the brain's misinterpreting that signal. So the nucleus is probably mostly responsible for the misinterpretation of the location of it. The referral pattern from the neck, I mean, it's not like your neck is going to refer into your right hip or anything like that. It's pretty consistently going to be referred into your head if it's going to refer anywhere, head or face, the temple, behind the eye. So kind of anywhere in the head's fair game. It looks a little bit different from patient to patient or depending on where exactly the pain signal is being picked up from. But that's where it's getting the location wrong, because it's meeting up with all these other nerves. And then where it gets the actual type of sensation wrong, I'm going to say, is potentially in the thalamus. The thalamus is picking up, let's say, other types of sensory input. So the thalamus could be part of that confusion. But I think the other component here, which we need to look at, is called central sensitization. And what happens with central sensitization is that our central nervous system, so our brain, is receiving some signal, and we go back to the first component, which is that intense pain signal, and it's typically a very intense pain signal over a period of time. But I think if we take a snapshot of what's happening, you get this intense pain signal, the alarm bells are going off, your brain has this hypersensitivity. Now, if you look in the medical research for what is a migraine, they'll say it's a spontaneous event that leads to hypersensitivities within the brain, okay? So as far as like what is happening in a migraine, there is a fairly robust, or at least you can find it, the research will say there's a hypersensitivity, okay? So this pain signal sent, the only way that I'm going to differ here is that they're going to stop at just, it's a spontaneous event. So we don't know where it comes from. I'm saying that this referral pattern from the neck that we've treated over 600 people and treat them successfully, all different types of headaches and migraines, we see this neck problem as being the origin, okay? So clinical experience based from other data that is in the journals, this referral pattern, looking at the anatomy, like it's all there and it all makes perfect sense. But what's happening here is this central sensitization, so hypersensitivity. The brain gets that intense pain signal, and so the alarm bells are going off. And what happens is that initially, okay, so the brain is going to confuse when you have this aura, when you have the visual disturbance, when you're seeing the zigzaggy lines, when you're seeing the bright flashes of light. What's happening here is your brain is getting the signal that something's wrong. And it's a very loud signal. It's an intense signal. It's coming from this area that refers, that has overlap with the head and the face. And the brain is going to be hypersensitive, not only to maybe like the pain itself, but it's also going to have overlap with other sensory inputs. So just like me at the memorial service, the lights, the loud sounds, it's like anything else is going to be agitating. If someone else, if you're trying to tell me a story, and even if it's like relatively normal conversation, it's going to be almost more agitating. Like the more sensory input you were going to give me in that moment was going to be very frustrating. Okay. So if you asked me to pay attention to something that was happening with all of that loud background noise going on, it would be really frustrating. So think of the brain as going through the same experience where it gets this intense pain signal, and then you're getting, it's perceiving that as something's happening within your visual system, or something's happening with a sensation to one side of your face, or a sensation on one side of your body. That numbness tingling happens every now and then with our patients. Maybe you have this sort of inflammatory response that's just sort of spontaneously comes on because the brain is sort of generating that. So in PT school, in physical therapy school, there's a story of a boy who played baseball. And as he was running the bases, he sprained his ankle. And he had an initial response of inflammation. His ankle was swollen. He couldn't really walk on it. And what we would typically expect is within a week or two, or maybe even within days, depending on how bad the injury was, he would be walking on it. He'd be able to weight bear, and the swelling would start to reduce. Now, what actually happened was weeks went by, and he still couldn't walk on it. And he was actually, he had to be in a wheelchair, and the swelling actually increased. So what happened there had nothing really to do with the actual tissue itself. It had to do with the central nervous system and this feedback loop of pain that was just over and over again triggering this inflammatory response. So the inflammation was almost like building and building, not again, not because of the injury being so bad, but just because of the central nervous system was causing that sort of response. Now, the other day, I had a patient who one of her primary symptoms is that you can visually see her eye will droop and it will kind of swell. And this isn't totally uncommon. My mom actually had this with her migraines. And so what happened was I was actually able, this is going to sound totally weird. And I still kind of think it's totally weird, but I was able to actually reproduce that response. Okay. So just by applying a moderate amount of pressure, not a ton, to the upper part of her neck in attempting to restore the available motion through the upper part of her neck. What happened was the pain built, and this is very, very common with what we do. We actually look for this. So we want to kind of reproduce that referral pattern, and then when we take the pressure off, it goes away. And what we're doing there is building the tolerance of the tissue itself. But in this situation, and this is this happens every now and then, we actually can reproduce the aura. So what we're doing is we're putting pressure through this specific area in the neck, and that signal is being sent through this pathway into the brain, and then the brain's having that aura response. So whether it's a visual disturbance, I've had that as well, where I've been working on someone's neck and it'll reproduce that, or in this patient's situation, it was the actual eye swelling. Her eye started to droop and swell. Now, when I took the pressure off, it went away. And actually, she felt better. It improved her situation because what I was doing was improving the actual tolerance of what that tissue or what that joint thought it was capable of. So it's that good type of stress, good type of resistance that we wanted to apply. But the more profound thing is that we were able to diagnose and reproduce her symptoms right there, just using these hands-on techniques, which is pretty exciting when you think about it, because people will go through our healthcare system for years or decades, getting expensive scans, seeing specialists, maybe they're driving or flying all over the country to find these sort of solutions. And what we really need to do is just look at the neck and evaluate it in a way that really shows us what's happening there and how irritated it really is. And then when we see these things, we see the auras reproduced and we say, well, how could that possibly be happening? But when we look at the anatomy, the neuroanatomy, and how our brain perceives these sensory inputs and can be confused not only on the location but the type of sensory input, it all starts to make sense. And it gets a lot of fun because we can change people's lives in a matter of weeks when you've been searching for relief for years and years. So if you are listening to this podcast, if you're relatively new to this podcast, or maybe you've been listening for a while, if you have a migraine aura and have been diagnosed with it, and you've been skeptical that your neck could be involved, or if treating your neck could be the solution, I want to encourage you to give that a chance. Give us a chance. If you're willing to fly out here, that's great, but just reach out to us. We want to help you. The easiest way that you can help us is by sharing this podcast, find your favorite episode and share it with someone that you know would benefit from it. Give us a 5-star review so that we can continue to spread the word. We also have our platforms on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. On our website, you can interact with us with different ways. We're trying to make products for people in person and virtually, so that we can solve this big, big problem out there, which is you suffering with headaches and migraines and not finding the solutions that you're looking for. So there you go. That's my explanation for what is a migraine aura. I hope that makes sense to you. My goal is to make this stuff intuitive, speak in a way that you all can understand, and really educate you so that you can be empowered going to your next doctor visit and feeling like you have a sense of control or direction as far as what you need to solve this problem. Thanks so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, where it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication, allowing you to thrive in everything you do. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.